Ladies and gentlemen, life for the Lions. I imagine most of us have suffered the experience of entertaining an important guest and having everything go wrong. Sometimes the most ridiculous things happen, and the guest goes away wondering if you're a little nuts. Of course, anyone visiting the Lion family doesn't have to wonder. They're definitely nuts. So let's go over to the nut house and see if the Colonel's in.
They say a good host always makes his guests feel like one of the family. Of course, I never do this because I want him to come again. To give you an example of what I mean, take last Wednesday. We had just finished breakfast when Barbara came in very quietly and said,
"Mother, oh, Mother, he's coming tonight and I don't know what to do."
"Oh, never mind, dear.
But it's so terribly important. I don't even know where to start."
"Oh, darling, calm down. There's no need to be alarmed over such a little thing."
"There isn't?"
"Of course not. Look at me. I'm not worried. And I don't even know what you're talking about."
"I thought I told you. Mr. Sanderson's coming to dinner."
"Well, Barbara, just so we can all enjoy your misery, who is Mr. Sanderson?"
"Russell's boss."
"Oh, is that all?"
"Is that all? He's practically promised Russell a ride, so we've just got to impress him tonight. I don't even know what kind of meat he likes."
"Oh, this really is a tragedy."
"You don't understand, Ben. You're not a girl."
"Well, this is a fine time to tell me."
"Dear, I wish I'd bought a new dinner service."
"Barbara, for Pete's sake, stop getting steamed up. Come on, sit down."
"Oh, I can't, Richard. I'm beside myself."
"Then the two of you sit down."
"Oh, Daddy, I don't know what Mr. Sanderson's going to think when he sees our little house. He has such a beautiful home in London and a magnificent estate in the country."
"Honey, I'm sure he isn't going to judge Russell's ability by the size of his house."
"But they say it's so much easier for a man to get a rise if he looks as if he doesn't need one."
"Oh, that's nonsense. And stop worrying."
"Oh, I'll try. But every time I think about tonight, I feel as if I'm going to go to pieces."
"Well, don't do it in here. I've just swept up."
"Aggie, you don't know what's happened."
"No, I don't. But you should do as your family say and stop making such a fuss over a little dinner party, even if it is for Mr. Sanderson."
"How did you know what we said?"
"Well, I accidentally overheard your conversation when I was dusting the keyhole."
Oh, Aggie. Say, Barbara, all you have to do is make your little house look a bit more elegant."
"Oh, I guess you're right, Mother. Oh, Daddy, do you mind if I ask you a favor?"
"Of course not, dear."
"May I borrow anything I like?"
"Of course not, dear."
"Oh, Daddy, how could you? And just when I need it so badly."
"Now, dear, don't stamp your little foot."
"But, Mother, it isn't fair. If Daddy won't let me have the silver, I'll die. I'll just die."
"Oh, Barbara, please don't be so upset. You know, when you cry, it always makes me cry, too."
"Well, thank you, Audrey Hepburn and Johnny Ray."
"Mr. Lyon, how can you be so cruel?"
"Now, Aggie, don't you start."
"Daddy, I'm sorry I asked you to lend me the silver. Please forget about it. I'll just have to get along with a few simple things I have."
"Oh, honey, I was only kidding. If it means that much to you, you can borrow the silver. In fact, you can take anything in the house."
"Well, it was nice to have furniture."
"Now, Richard, that's enough."
"Oh, thank you, Daddy, darling. You're a doll."
"He's the biggest doll I've ever seen." "Mr. Lyon, your coffee's cold. I'll away to the kitchen and heat it."
"Oh, thanks. Oh, say, Barbara, if Mr. Sanderson is such a snob, you'd better engage a cook for the evening."
"But, Pop, cooks cost a lot of money."
"Yes, we can't afford it. You see, I've already engaged a butler and a maid from the agency."
"Besides, what does she want with a cook? What do you think I am?"
"Don't change the subject, honey."
"Oh, so you don't think I'm a good enough cook, huh?"
"Oh, it isn't that, Mother, but Mr. Sanderson is so particular. If you made just one little mistake with your cooking, Russell's career could be finished."
"To say nothing of Mr. Sanderson's life."
"Miss Barbara, I'll cook the dinner."
"Oh, Aggie, that's wonderful."
"Well, come on, Barbara. Pick out what you want to borrow, and we'll carry it over for you."
Where do you want me to put this table lamp?
Oh, right here in the living room, Richard. Where shall I put this silver vase? Oh, I think that would look lovely on the piano.
Hey, wait a minute. What piano?
The one you're going to lend me.
Look, Barbara, when I said I'd lend you a few things, I didn't mean everything we've got in the house.
Miss Barbara, here's the dinner service.
Oh, thank you, Aggie.
And Mrs. Wainwright said she's going to lend you her escritoire.
Oh, that's terribly sweet of her. Just what I wanted. What is it?
It's an old-fashioned writing desk. Well, I'll put these dishes in the kitchen.
Oh, thanks, Aggie. And Richard, you can bring in those two chairs I left on the porch.
But Barbara, it's getting so crowded in here, I wouldn't know where to put them.
Don't be ridiculous. There's still plenty of space.
Have you got room in there for an old-fashioned escritoire?
Yes, come right in, Florrie.
Mr. Hemingway and his brother carried it over for me. It's right outside the door.
Well, why did they leave it out there?
Because there are two strong men in this house who can carry it in.
We better go and find them.
Richard, you know good and well she means you and Daddy.
Really?
Ben, don't just stand there. Florrie wants her escritoire lifted.
Well, leave it parked there. The police will tow it away.
Ben, you don't have to act as if you were brought up in a barn just because you look like one.
Oh, Daddy, the two of you could carry it in quite easily.
Barbara, it might be a good idea if we all lent a hand.
Why? Is it that heavy?
No, but it may be difficult getting it through the door.
Why, Florrie?
Well, dear, my escritoire is such an awkward shape.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
Ben, that's quite enough out of you, you big, overstuffed lion.
Sorry, old girl. Well, come on, Richard. You and I can lift the front legs, and Bebe, you and Florrie can lift the back legs.
All right, and I'll guide you in.
Trust you to get the easy part.
Well, now, come on, everybody.
Lift!
Richard, let's have less grunting and more lifting.
Okay. Well, the front legs are through.
Good. Now, come on, girls. Easy does it.
There. Well, I got my leg through. Come on, Florrie. Push.
Oh, it's no good, dear. Ben, there's only one thing to do. If you put your left side flat on the floor and raise your right side up about 4 feet, then I can come in with my leg over my head.
That's a neat trick if you can do it.
The humor of that remark escapes me.
Oh, Aunt Florrie, I think if you just push a little, it'll come through quite easily.
No, Barbara, dear, I've tried that. The only way I can get through the door is to point my end towards the ceiling. And Ben Lyon, don't you dare laugh.
Why should I laugh?
Come on, Pop. Let's see what Aunt Florrie says.
All right.
There. Now, how's that?
Splendid.
There now. It's through. Well, that's wonderful. Now, just set it down here in front of the window.
Over this way, little Pop. That's it. Now, down, everybody.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm glad that's over. For a minute there, I thought I was going to break a leg.
It's a pity you didn't. Then we could have shot you.
Oh, Aunt Florrie. Oh, my goodness. It's simply beautiful.
It's wonderful, Florrie. You don't see many old pieces like this today, do you?
Well,
Don't you say it.
Oh, Ben. People who live in glass houses should pull down the blinds when they take a bath. Especially you. Well, I'll see you all later.
Barbara, I just saw Russell get out of his car.
Oh, good. I can't wait until he sees what we've done to the house. Is that you, my precious, adorable sweetheart?
Well, it better be.
Look around, honey. Doesn't it look wonderful?
Oh, it's terrific. Hello, Richard.
Oh, hi, Russell. Hey, Pop, where do you want me to put these cigars?
On the table where Mr. Sanderson can help himself.
Oh, thanks, Ben. That was darn nice of you.
Oh, forget it. I also brought a few bottles of old wine over, too. I thought they might put your boss in a nice mellow mood. Especially this old bottle of Chateau Yquem.
Hello, Russell, dear.
Hello, my favorite mother-in-law.
Ben, I do want you to open this jar of mayonnaise. The top stuff.
All right, honey.
Chateau Yquem. That's the wine we had at our wedding supper. Remember, Ben?
I certainly do. Come here, you gorgeous creature. Come here and give me a kiss.
Oh, Ben, stop it. Let me go. You're squashing my mayonnaise.
You'd better give up, Ben.
Yes, this is too much for my tender ears.
Okay, give me the bottle, honey, and I'll open it.
Here. Oh, my goodness. We haven't any flowers for the dining room table.
Well, I'll go over to the florist and get some roses. Oh, Barbara, I'm back.
She's upstairs getting dressed, Ma.
Then who's watching the dinner?
I don't know, but we'd rather watch television.
Say, Ma, can you smell something burning? Or is it my nose?
Your nose looks all right to me.
It smells like meat and potatoes.
Richard, quick! Quick, the kitchen! I'll open the back door.
Boy, look at all that smoke! Pop, the kitchen's full of smoke!
Stop gabbing and open the window.
Oh, yes, the window.
Oh, my dear. Oh, I'd better look at the oven. Oh, my goodness!
What's the matter? That little black pudding looks all right to me.
That's the joint.
Oh, well, we can say goodbye to the meat.
Goodbye, meat.
Let's have a look at the potatoes. Oh, dear, the saucepan's burnt dry.
So has the one with the cauliflower.
Oh, my goodness. What's happened to my beautiful dinner? Oh,
I'm terribly sorry, sweetheart. I'm afraid Richard and I forgot all about it.
Oh, everything's ruined.
Aggie, we have a leg of lamb and plenty of vegetables at our house, haven't we?
Aye, we have, but...
Never mind the buts. Just bring it all over here.
Daddy, I couldn't take your dinner.
Well, you're going to. And Aggie, will you please bring some flour so we can make some sugared pancakes?
But what happened to my apple tart?
We are holding the post-mortem tomorrow.
Say, Barbara, I found the hors d'oeuvre, and they look fine.
Oh, fine. Oh, now all I have to worry about is a couple from the employment agency. I wonder what's keeping them.
Well, well, now, isn't this a small world?
Well, what brought that on?
I talked to the agency no more than 3 hours ago, and they said the maid and the butler can't come.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. They both got a steady job.
Oh, this is terrible. What am I going to do?
Well, I'd be willing to serve for you, Miss Barbara, but I have to clean up the kitchen and cook the dinner.
Say, wait a minute, wait a minute. I've got a great idea. I'll be the butler.
You?
Well, what's so funny? I once played a butler in a very famous film. What was the name of it again, Bebe?
What the Butler Saw.
It was nothing of the sort. Oh, wait, I remember now. It was called The Gentleman's Gentleman.
Oh, it's awfully sweet of you, Daddy, but Mr. Sanderson would recognize you in a minute.
Not when I'm through, he won't. I've got a white curly wig, a rubber nose, and a false chin.
Well, no wonder you always undress in the dark.
I mean in my makeup trunk.
Oh, yes. Oh, and I've still got that outfit I wore in Alias French Gertie.
Oh, Mrs. Lyon, don't tell me you're going to serve dinner as a French maid.
But of course, Aggie. Mais oui, c'est bon and yaki da.
Say, Ma, you're going to be terrific.
Oh, Russell, Mrs. Sanderson will be here any minute. Aren't you ready yet?
Yes, darling, but I still think it's ridiculous to wear tails.
Oh, nonsense. It's very important that we impress Mr. Sanderson. I wonder if the butler's arrived.
The what?
The butler. Oh, Chumley.
Did you call me, milady?
Who's he?
Your humble father-in-law, sir.
Oh, Ben, you look terrific. I'd never have recognized you.
Wait until you see the French maid.
Oh, yes, Russell, she's a real doll. Au revoir.
Ah, oui, madame. Did, voulez-vous coller moi?
Why, Bebe, you look great.
Oh, thank you, Russell. Well, how am I doing, kids?
Ma, don't look now, but your accent is slipping.
Well, don't worry.
Oh, dear, that'll be Mr. Sanderson. Do I look all right, Mother?
You look lovely, dear. Chamley, the door, please. Answer him.
That's precisely what I intend to do. So, Colette, keep your blinking shirt on. Good evening, sir.
May I have your name, please?
George Sanderson. Mr. and Mrs. Turner are expecting me.
Very good, sir.
Well, hello, Mr. Sanderson.
Hello, Russell.
I'd like you to meet my wife.
Oh, how do you do, my dear? Oh,
I'm delightful, thank you. yes, and I'm so glad you're able to have dinner with us.
Well, so am I. I'm sure we shall have a delightful evening.
Colette, kindly take Mr. Sanderson's hat.
Ah, maybe. Monsieur, allow me to prendre your chapeau.
Ma, watch your language.
Mr. Sanderson, I'd like to present Richard. Mr. Sanderson, Mrs. Richard. Richard, this is Mr. Sanderson.
Well, now that we've met three times, my name's Richard.
Well, so I've gathered. Which side of the family are you on?
Both, sir. Barbara's my sister, so that makes Russell my sister-in-law.
Well, that's a very nice arrangement.
Sir, I believe you'll find this chair more comfortable.
Thank you, Charlie.
And I have pour vous a petit footstool for the feet.
Oh, well, how nice. Russell, you're a very lucky man. You've got a beautiful wife, a charming house, and two very thoughtful servants.
It is an honor to be of service to you, sir.
Yes, we likewise.
What delightful manners. I must compliment you on the graceful way you curtsied.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I see your butler's got a most excellent sense of humor, too.
Yes. Oh, Chumley, will you please find out what time dinner will be ready?
Cook says it will be ready in precisely 4 1/2 minutes.
Well, that's what I call efficiency.
Perhaps before dinner, monsieur would care for the petit drink, no?
May we?
Of course you may. Monsieur, monsieur, I will go and get for you some cocktails. And for you, Master Richard, I will bring the orange juice.
Well, thanks, Ma.
Richard.
Did I hear you call the maid Ma?
Well, yes, you see, Ma is short for Mademoiselle.
Oh, I see.
Oh, Colette.
Oui, Chumley.
I have already brought the cocktails. You may bring the hors d'oeuvre.
Oui, oui.
And now, if you would excuse me, I'll go and see how dinner is progressing.
Oh, by Jove, that butler of yours is a marvel, Mrs. Turner. Both he and that French maid are perfect gems. Tell me, have you had them long?
Oh, yes, I've had them all my life.
Oh, I see. Old family retainers, eh?
That's right.
Well, that's a funny thing, but I'm sure I've seen that butler's face before.
I hope not. I mean, I doubt it. He doesn't go out much.
Here are the others, monsieur.
Oh, thank you, Colette.
Oh, and madame, the dinner, she will be ready tout suite.
Oh, Mrs. Turner, these tough peppers are simply delicious.
I'm so glad you like them.
Perhaps monsieur would care for another one,
he
no?
He most certainly would.
We were afraid they'd be too hot for you. Colette put rather a lot of cloves and pepper in them.
Then I must congratulate you, Colette. I like something a little spicy.
I like you too, you naughty old man.
Really? Colette, will you please get some more hot rolls?
Oh, maybe, madame.
Russell, I must say I admire your table, Silver. But what do the two B's stand for?
Oh, Barbara and me.
But you're an R. How did this bee get in here?
Were you speaking to me, sir?
No, Chumley. I was asking Mr. Turner what these initials stand for.
If I may be so bold, Master Russell has never been very fond of his real Christian name. But his aunt, Lady Myrtlefinger, insisted on having it on the silver. This being B for Bonzo.
Good heavens! Well, how could parents possibly name a child Bonzo?
Well, you see, sir, they wanted a dog.
Chumley!
No, don't be angry with him. I promise I won't breathe a word to a soul, Bonzo. I mean, Russell.
Here are the hot rolls, monsieur.
Thank you, Colette.
Mrs. Turner, I suppose you wouldn't mind what your husband's name was.
I certainly wouldn't. I love him for himself.
You know, it's nice to hear you say that, my dear. No regrets about being married so young, eh?
Oh, no, sir. I'm only sorry I didn't get married earlier.
Yes. Yes, I suppose it wasn't very much fun living at home with the old folks. Bit stuffy for you, eh?
I wouldn't say that.
No, I know. Of course you wouldn't, my dear. But between you and me, weren't there times when you were bored to death with the two of them, eh?
No,
don't get me wrong. I'm quite an admirer of your father's. But even his best friends say he's overbearingly conceited. Don't you agree, Russell?
Well,
I have some more spinach.
I must go and get a clean serviette.
You know, Mrs. Turner, I can't help feeling I've seen your butler somewhere before.
Oh, really?
Yes, his face seems like a very old friend.
Well, it's a very old face.
Russell.
I mean, he's had it a long time.
Well, I never forget a face.
Don't you think in this case you should make an exception?
Well, I'm afraid I can't. His face disturbs me.
That makes it unanimous.
Some more wine, Mr. Sam.
No, thank you, my dear.
Then would you like some of this bubbly champagne?
Which year?
Actually, it is a special cuvée of rare French champagne, 1949. I'm sure you will enjoy its exhilarating bouquet.
No champagne for me, Pop.
Pop?
Yes, I said champagne is no good without a pot.
Oh, yes, young man. I hope we get a nice big pop, don't you?
I've already got one.
Wait a moment, Chumley.
Very good, sir.
You know, I've just remembered who your butler reminds me of.
You have?
Yes, and I'm surprised that you haven't noticed it before. He looks exactly like your father did 30 years ago.
But you see, I didn't know my father 30 years ago.
Well, Chumley looks just like your father did when he played the butler in, what was the name of that film now? Oh, yes, A Gentleman's Gentleman, that's it.
Oh, what an excellent film.
You mean you saw it, Chumley?
Many times, sir. And the way Ben Lyon played that role was an inspiration to butlers everywhere.
Well, Russell, it seems to me your butler is one of Ben Lyon's fans.
He is his greatest fan.
Mrs. Turner, I can't remember when I've had such an excellent dinner.
Neither can I.
Sir, you will find cigars on the table next to you. And now, if you'll excuse me, I'll fetch the brandy.
Oh, by Jove, that butler thinks of everything. Do you realize what that man means to you?
Oh, yes. I can truthfully say if it weren't for him, I wouldn't be here.
Well, neither would I.
Pardon?
They mean if it weren't for him, they'd be out doing the work.
Oh, yes. However, I must say I'm very impressed by the way your house is run. You know, a man who has an efficient household is usually efficient in his work, too.
Mr. Sanderson, I'm sure you realize that Barbara and Russell can't possibly live like this on his salary.
Richard!
You mean living over their heads?
Oh, on the contrary, sir. I don't wish to be vulgar, but Mr. Turner is a very, very wealthy man.
Well, I get you, Pop.
I didn't know you were wealthy, Russell.
Well, I'm not. Let's just say I'm comfortably off.
Well, let's just say he's a millionaire.
But he isn't.
Okay, let's just say it.
Well, is he or isn't he?
Of course I'm not. If I were, I wouldn't be living in this little house.
Well, it's your own fault for giving your other house away.
He gave it away?
Yes. The kitchen tap needed a new washer.
Stop exaggerating, Master Richard. When I said gave it away, I meant he sold it for an extremely low figure. Brandy, sir.
Oh, Finkel.
And now, if you'll excuse me, I'll see what's keeping Colette.
When Russell starts spending money, there's no stopping him. Ha-ha! That boy slays me.
I will in a minute.
Mr. Brandy, you haven't drunk your Sanderson.
She means your brandy, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm afraid I've been too busy listening to your brother.
Well, you haven't heard anything yet. Russell, tell him about the time you tried to buy the Queen Mary just to go fishing off Southend Pier.
Oh, Richard, Richard, what do you say we change the subject? I'm sure Mr. Sanderson's getting bored.
No, not at all, my dear, but I'm afraid I really must be getting home now. It's very, well, it's past my bedtime. Oh, and Russell, about that ride.
Yes, sir?
Well, I've decided it would be an insult to offer it to a man of your means. Oh, and Russell, if you ever want to get rid of that butler, let me know.
After tonight, you can have him.
Ah, I wish you meant that. Well, good night.
Good night, sir.
Oh, Russell, I can't tell you how sorry I am. I'm afraid you have me to thank for not getting your rise.
Thank you, Ben.
Darling, we're all to blame. So stop making mountains out of mousetraps. Come on, Ben. Now, let's take our wigs off and relax.
All right, honey. And I'm going to take off this darn false nose, too.
Now, I know one thing. People should never pretend to be what they aren't.
Then why did you surround us with all this luxury?
Oh, I don't know, Russell. I was always brought up to appreciate the simple things in life. Like my mother.
Thank you, dear.
I suppose I was just trying to be a helpmate to Russell.
And with a mate like you, he needs help.
Now, don't you talk about my wife like that, you young pipsqueak.
Okay. You won't hear another pip out of this squeak.
Mother, you and Daddy must be starving. Pull up a couple of chairs, and I'll get you something to eat.
Oh, Florrie's coming over too, dear.
Oh, then we better make it 6 chairs. Oh, that must be the old crowbait now. Come on in, Suet Hip.
Well, Suet Hips, am I?
Oh. I'm sorry, sir. I thought you were Mrs. Wainwright.
Oh, well, that's different. Russell, I left my briefcase here, and I... Ben Lyon, it's you.
Oh, now, Mr. Sanderson, don't jump at conclusions.
And B.B. Daniel. Oh, should I say Paulette?
Oui. Mr. Sanderson, this is all my fault. I wanted Russell to make an impression.
Well, I never did.
No, she did. I hope you won't hold this against me, sir.
Hold it against you? My dear boy has given me a sensational idea for a television farce, and I want you to produce it.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I'm offering you £100 a week.
Oh, Mr. Sanderson, I don't know how to thank you.
No, I'm talking to your father-in-law.
Oh. Look, Mr. Sanderson, if you think you can get me for £100 a week, you're quite right.
£100?
Never mind, Colette. I'll give you La Même Chose.
Well, thank you, but I'd rather have the money.
Well, you shall. Well, then, that's all settled, eh?
Oh, well, there's just one little thing before we sign the contract. Does my son-in-law get his rise?
Yes, indeed. And the bonus. Oh. Well, goodbye, everyone. I mustn't keep my taxi waiting.
Goodbye.
Well, Russell, I hope you remember whose idea this was.
I certainly will. I think your father and I have two of the smartest wives in the world. Right, Ben?
Booze is telling what?
Life of the Lions, with B.B. Daniels and Ben Lyon, with our children, Barbara and Richard. Also in this recording were Doris Rogers, Molly Weir, Carl Bernard, and Russell Turner. The incidental music was by Paul Fennelly, who also conducted the BBC Variety Orchestra. The script was by Bob Locke, Ronnie Hambry, and B.B. Daniels. Production by Tom Ronald. Thank you.